Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast.
Serotalk Podcast.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast, your portal to the accessible digital lifestyle.
www.serotalk.com.
A production of Serotech Corporation, creators of System Access, the System Access Mobile Network, and SA2Go. Learn about new technology, cool software, useful websites, education, information, entertainment, user comments, and much more. And now, here's your host, Michael Law.
Welcome to Serotalk. Podcast 49 for September 1st, 2010. This is Michael Loff.
I'm Ricky Inger.
I'm Joe Steinkamp.
Pulling up the rear, it's me, Mike Calvo.
Yes.
Wow, it is crowded in here.
It is truly the Fab Four now.
Yeah, I want to hold your iPod.
Yes, that.
Well, we have a lot of interesting stuff coming up in the month of September. First, we are bringing back the Tech Chats after a slight hiatus over the summer, and it's going to be a different dynamic. I think the quality of them is going to greatly improve. I will still be kind of hosting / emceeing / doing the techie stuff to make sure they work. But the cool thing is Joe here is our producer and back-end engineer and lining up great guests and topics. And so it's really going to be a team effort to make this happen. So we believe the quality of Tech Chats is going to go to an all-new level. So Joe, I will be very excited to be working with you on this. One of the best things is it's going to allow us to greatly plan out shows in advance. Our first one here, September 2nd, is going to be about advocating for cell phone access, and we're teaming up with some great folks with AFB, and we're going to be talking about how to submit your comments to the Federal Communications Commission for some basic rudimentary access to all cell phones. What should the manufacturers need to be including as baseline access? Because there are many people who don't need a full-fledged cell phone, all the data and voice chat and texting, maybe just basic information like caller ID and their contacts and so forth. So what is basic cell phone access? And showing us just the whole concept of how to advocate in that space. Coming up on September 9, I promise we're not going to stay totally cell and mobile phone centric. Where is the current level of accessibility when it comes to Android phones? And Joe, you've been playing with it.
Absolutely. I've got the LG Ally. I'm a Verizon Wireless customer. I have this lovely guy right here. I'm going to let him speak for me. Or actually her.
Screen lock.
Okay, so I'm actually in the screen right now. I'm going to get out of the lock.
Ringer's clean phone locked. Home. Ice free shell.
See my battery.
35%.
But I can actually get to
shortcuts.
Slide out my keyboard here.
Clock. Settings. Shortcuts. Talking compass. Talking
and these are all through the apps free shell. And what I'm doing is actually running my finger up and down on the eyes free shell. What that does is allow me to get to some things really quickly and really fast with just the swipe of a finger. You might have heard that what you basically have to do is put your finger in one spot, put your finger on the 5. And then you move it up and down to get to certain things that you can assign. Right now I have 1 as my contacts and 2 as my clock, 3 is my battery, and I can get to certain things really quickly, and I can actually set more of those. So it's kind of like having multiple folders or multiple home screen folders. And then when you're in actual applications drawer, you can actually arrow down through things.
Backup assistant, browser, calculator, calendar, camera, car home, clock, contacts, corporate calendar, email, ice free shell. Facebook.
And Facebook is somewhat accessible. We'll talk about that next on the September 9th podcast.
Ideal
K9 Mail is the accessible email that Chris Millsap talked about. Great podcast on Blind Cool Tech. Chris's Android accessibility ones helped me out a great deal.
So as you hear, there's quite a number of apps, some a little more accessible than others, and hopefully we'll see if Chris can join us as well. But we're going to get a few different folks who are actually out there on the cutting edge working with Android, making it happen so that you can make an informed decision if Android operating system phone is going to be at the place to meet your needs. And we'll be doing that on September 9th. Very excited about that.
It's very interesting where it's starting. Remember that Android has only been around talking for almost a year. We haven't even crossed the anniversary yet with version 1.6. And I'm running 2.1, and I've heard 2.2 is even better. I love my Ally because it has a dedicated number row. So if you're looking at any type of Android phone, you definitely want to have a keypad because a lot of the information is easier to get to via first letter navigation or the ability to use the little D-pad to go up and down through menus. I have found it frustrating and I've found it very useful. Am I jealous of your iPhone guys? Not necessarily, because I think over time this will mature. It will just take a little bit of love and crazy people like myself being able to throw themselves at it to help Google along. You know, my mama said you can't complain about lima beans until you've eaten a big bowl of them. So I actually have a steaming bowl of lima beans beans right here in my hand.
Yum.
Yummy. And of course, when you're talking about things that are partially accessible enough to be usable, Mike Calvo will be telling us later about his work with the new Kindle 3. We actually have fanboys as well, and fangirls who tune in faithfully every 2 weeks, and they're wondering why we're a little late, but we intentionally waited to give you what we believed was going to be some big news today. And I think there's
we got news
you can do.
And good news, everyone.
Steve Jobs and his Apple news today. Some new cool stuff coming out. But we'll go through these announcements here. First thing, iOS 4.1 to be released. A lot of bugs.
Actually, that'll be released next week. The iTunes 10 will be released today, and 4.1 is available next week.
Bugs that they're fixing, especially, they allege, the proximity sensor, which is most annoying to me personally. Some Bluetooth.
The proximity sensor is really a problem because you'll be on there and your significant other will be like, well, I can't wait for you to get home. And you'll be standing there with the phone against your ear, and all of a sudden the proximity sensor will whack out and it'll be like on speaker for everybody to hear. And I'm like, ooh.
Now, another feature I think is pretty cool, but maybe they're just doing catch up here, is this HDR for photos, this high dynamic range photos, taking a couple different shots. So like last weekend when we were down at the river capturing some photos for our friends in Australia, we had 30 different photos. That way you can choose and maybe get the one that best captures the river or the barges or whatever scenery you're trying to capture.
Yeah, my son saw it. He said it looked good.
Apparently they do this with other apps, but now it's built in.
You know, well, you've also got those apps that are taking certain pictures and then looking at rapid bits of things that have changed. So if shot one was really good for reds and shot two was really good for blues, they can do kind of stitching and put those things together to kind of give you one really good high dynamic ranged photo.
The other thing, I'm curious to see how much benefit it's going to be to us, is the new game center and multiplayer capability. Obviously the big money's in games that we're not going to be able to use, but I'll be curious to see if a group of blind folks will be able to do multiplayer gaming.
You know, Apple does the social networking. Now all you got to do is focus on the gaming part of it. The whole social networking infrastructure is built in, especially with the Bing thing that they announced, all of those types of social networking things. It's going to be very interesting for blind people because it does have a lot of sensors in the phone. You know, if we came up with doing the right application, whether it be dueling with swords or, you know, finding people in a crowd with GPS or stuff with haptic feedback, or, I mean, there's a million different ways you can make that phone, you know, work for a blind person.
Xbox Live is the one that has really set that apart, where you have different gaming leaderboards where people are jumping in and trying to one-upmanship, and it's really, really addictive. And you see that also with Facebook, with all the things that are in there with Mafia Wars and things like that. That could really go really far. And if Apple adds, like Mike was saying, the social aspect to it, it really could explode in that area.
Now, the cool thing to me with the Xbox 360 when I see my son is the interactive group voice chat. So if that comes into play where you can actually talk to the other people as you're gaming. And the way we blind folks love our voice chat, at least some of us anyway. They also showed 4.2 coming out this November. One of the big things, I guess, for folks, wireless printing.
The whole thing about 4.2, quite honestly, seemed to me a bit of a delay tactic. In the last couple of months, Apple's done a couple of minor updates. So they have no problem in pushing out an incremental number. So I just think that the iPad version isn't ready yet.
Well, that's exactly what it was. 4.2 is the iPad, and that was the emphasis that, yeah, it'll work on the Touch and the iPhone as well. We'll get to the new Touches shortly, but that it's really going to bring all the features up to spec on the iPad. That's going to be the big... And they talked about AirPlay, this concept of being able to transmit your audio and your video and your photos from your portable device. So that's going to be cool.
Big deal.
That was a big middle finger to Microsoft's Windows Home Server. You know, look, you guys have had all these different ways of doing these things, and you've talked about Windows Media Center forever. We're going to come out and we're going to do it the Apple way. And if you're in the Apple ecosystem, this is going to be easy for you to get to. And if it's shared amongst all your iOS devices, that's awesome.
The first gripe I've got about this whole thing is that they didn't bring wireless syncing. You know, if you've got an iPhone, an iPad, an iPod, and you can't wirelessly sync, you got to keep flipping them back and forth between your one computer that you can, you know, have on all of them. That sucks.
It also goes into the same philosophy that you can't have multiple accounts on an iPad. And it's the single user experience. You know, we didn't want to interrupt that. And it's like, wait a minute, we've had logon screens forever. How hard was that?
I guess I'm in my own camp here because I think the concept of being able to, you know, have some music jamming on your iPhone phone and to walk into your living room and all of a sudden pump it through your home theater system, or to be sitting there watching a movie or TV show on Netflix and all of a sudden push it through your TV for everyone else to watch. Here, check out this scene. Or you've got some photos and all of a sudden just pop them up on your television screen. Again, you know, those of us interacting with our sightlings and family members. I think it's some cool features.
Through Bluetooth. I mean, I do that right now. I have a Samsung sound bar that I just connect my iPhone or my iPad, or Alina connects hers right up to the, just via Bluetooth. You go in, you select it, it's there, and boom, it just comes on. There's just nothing revolutionary about it.
It's not a big, huge, revolutionary thing that everybody has to have, but it is a nice to have. I don't think we should knock it.
I don't think that's a compelling reason to move to the platform. I mean,
I didn't say that. I'm just saying it's a cool feature. Some of you don't have Macs, so you don't appreciate already the capability to just go in and quickly get your music over from one device to another.
Ooh, he's become a Mac elitist, Ricky.
I'm not an elitist. I use all of these OSs, and I like traits of each. I'm not an elitist.
He's a consumer.
I do have two.
Part of the consumption device.
Fanboy.
Fanboy 2.0, mm-hmm. I guess.
So moving on.
Moving on to the iPods. New line of iPods here. The newest Shuffle. Getting rid of the jog wheels will make the device smaller. Buttons now. VoiceOver, although we have to see exactly what that means. And the ability to do playlists. It said 15 hours. So what is that, only like 2 gig? I'm not sure. Was it 15 hours that was actual storage, right? As opposed to play time?
Yeah. I believe it is 2 gig, actually.
That would be 15 hours at 256. You could do about 30
price,
hours at 128.
The price is right on this one. $49?
$49 with a talking device. Very cool.
Well, yeah, because you're going to have to buy at least 2 or 3 of them because you're going to lose them. They're itsy bitsy, itty bitty. Might as well clip it on your tie.
Or have it like a wristwatch, as the Twit gang were talking about. What's interesting is I don't know what they mean by VoiceOver in this context, because last year they were talking about the Nanos and the Shuffles and they said it had VoiceOver, but it wasn't the same type of VoiceOver that we see with the touch devices. We do have some questions just submitted to Apple Accessibility about these types of things. So while this podcast will have a bit of conjecture in it, we will keep you guys updated on what we learn.
Exactly. So always go to serotalk.com for show notes and updates to the information that we're talking
and
about.
And Twitter.
Right, Twitter.com/serotalk.
There you go.
Nano going multi-touch.
Yeah, I found that to be kind of strange. I really want to get my hands on one of those and see what it's going to be like. It'd be kind of cool if they put iOS 4 in there. My son told me it was real small, but it was very sexy looking. No buttons. The wheel is gone.
Right, the wheel is gone.
Wheel is gone. It's so square. Is the camera. Right, the camera's gone too.
Yeah, the camera's gone too. That's true.
Right, so you got VoiceOver, you got an FM radio, you got a pedometer, you've got 29 languages, 24 hours, I guess, of battery life.
Well, it's 8 and 16 gigs. I mean, and it's 149 and 179, I think, respectively.
You are correct. Game on.
I really don't like that price point. I really wish it was a little lower than 149.
I think they should hit 99 for a device. Price points are set. Why would you, as long as your products are moving? It would make no sense.
You're right, Michael. Usually they don't lower prices on stuff, unless, admittedly, they've got a little egg on their face like they did with Apple TV.
All right, we'll get to that.
We're getting a bit ahead of ourselves.
Right, we'll get to that in a minute. But first, we're going to talk about the iPod Touch. What we've been waiting for, very excited about this. You can't shoot me down on this. Both
front-facing
and rear-facing camera. So HD.
But notice he didn't say the megapixels on the back camera.
You are correct. He said 326 PPI for the screen, same as the iPhone 4, but he did not give specs. You are correct.
But he said HD. He said HD video. So
yes,
I'm
he did. So
it's got to be 5 megapixels at least, which is going to be great when you see the SamNet app and the DocuScan Plus, and I think that's exciting.
Oh, OCR, color detection, light detection, a lot of good stuff, folks, here that you're going to be able to do without having a contract.
Very thin. Thinner than the current iPod, which is really darn thin to begin with.
This gives FaceTime a big jump ahead forward because you've got more of an install base out there, so you can see those things between different iOS applications and iOS devices. So this really makes FaceTime a lot better because there's going to have a lot more people using Wi-Fi in this situation than they would in other situations with just an iOS phone or an iPhone.
No, you're right. My son bought an iPhone 4 and he doesn't have anyone to FaceTime with yet.
I would have liked to seen a 3G option at least available for it, where we could take the SIM maybe out of our iPads and put it in there, or vice versa, something where you can get it to work 3G basically an iPhone without a contract.
So yeah, obviously, he was definitely going after a couple of critics in this one. There were a couple of shots at Android. There were a couple of shots at Nintendo and Sony. And that one was the most telling because that's what other people have always said it was. The iPod Touch is just the iPhone without the phone. And he kind of acknowledged it.
Well, of course, that's its draw. That's its sale. He knows many people. They know. Apple knows many people are buying these devices for that reason. No commitment. They're Wi-Fi most of the time, or certainly can store up content when they're traveling. They don't need to be 3G connected all the time to enjoy their media.
I think it's a solid platform. I like it. The home run out of all this stuff was the iPod Touch. It's a great product. I'll be having one for the next podcast for sure.
So what we have here, 32 GB, $299, and 64, $399?
Yeah, and then they have an 8 for $199 as well.
Next on the agenda, and I know, folks, before you ask, believe me, we will be right on it. iTunes 10.0. And one of the features I think is pretty cool is Ping, this concept, not the most creative name, but this concept of social networking with your friends over the music that you like. The ability to follow either artists or have people follow you to find out what things you're purchasing and what you're into, or to...
I think it's cool.
I think it's awesome.
But you notice how he kept skating right close to the edge of selling concert tickets, but he wouldn't quite go there because...
Oh, exactly. Exactly.
But let me tell you something. He is going to kick Ticketmaster's ass. And good. I brought my kids tickets the other day for like a Dora show or something. They charged me like $7 processing fee per ticket or something. Ridiculous.
And artists that were kind of holding back on iTunes, like Pearl Jam and Radiohead, didn't jump in there both feet. If they're going after Ticketmaster, you will have a lot of artists that were not digital music fans come around rather quickly.
But think about it for a second. If now you can sit in your project studio at home, you can put together a little track like the guys that did the Auto-Tune the News do. The Auto-Tune the News guys are a phenomenon. And if you can get such a phenomenon started on Ping, you don't need to have a record company. You could actually produce the song in your bedroom, put it out on iTunes, market it yourself, raise popularity, and then even go and say, well, I'm going to be at so-and-so venue and sell tickets direct to the public through this thing by using iTunes as an agent, and to heck with everybody, concert promoters and everybody else. I think it's an amazing platform once it matures. I love it.
It's a death of the record company. Individual produce. Yes.
Down with the record companies.
Add that to location and geo. Big thing into it. If there's a certain artist that's touring or... So don't you think it was interesting that he also rebranded it as well and mentioned that, the CD and all of that kind of sort of needed to go away? He really did kind of put a lot of people on notice that iTunes was becoming more than just a way to get your music.
But no wireless syncing, man. Why?
Yeah.
Because they want to go to a rental model. How many times did he say the word rent?
It really doesn't make sense. In my house, we have 2 iPod Nanos, an iPhone, 2 iPads, and that just doesn't make sense. And if we're going to get an Apple TV or something, now I'm going to get the new Touch to play with. How many accounts are you going to need on iTunes to sync all this stuff up? iTunes gets confused. Sometimes you pull your device out of iTunes and it's like, there's no content. Well, where did it all go? Well, I put it on the other device. It just doesn't make sense. If you could wirelessly check in and make iTunes your server, it'd just be so much better than going the old-fashioned way. I don't understand that logic.
It's streaming in the wrong direction because... apparently you can stream with Apple TV all day long, but not necessarily throughout your house.
They reached the pinnacle of, wow, it was cool to let you share everything, but now we don't want you to have all that content on 5 different devices. We're hoping you'll buy it another time or two.
See, I don't like that concept. For example, I just bought my daughter's iCarly on Amazon. They got 40 episodes of iCarly for $11, and they can watch them anytime they want on any device that does Amazon on-demand streaming through Roku or whatever. We've got a Roku box that, or on the computer, they got it on their computer, or they can download it to their computer. That's the way to do it. I mean, 99¢ sounds great if you can only watch it once, but if you've got little kids that like watching like SpongeBob the season or Phineas and Ferb, any of that stuff, you're not going to pay 99¢ over and over and over for that. Steve's, he's crazy.
Well, I think that's why he didn't offend some of his content partners. Note that Netflix was one of the first people they trampled out to say, nope, nope, it's here, it's here. You know, in the back of my mind, I was like, okay, look, I've got Hulu Plus, I've got Netflix, cable on demand. All of this is fragmenting all this content that's out there. What is the compelling reason for me to do that other than, I think I'm going to rent something new and, well, Blockbuster just closed. Maybe I'll just do this through the Apple TV. That was the only real argument I could see for going in that direction.
I don't see this working for episodes. Renting episodes for 99 cents seems really ridiculous to me with Netflix and Hulu and all that stuff. But being able to rent a movie, yeah, that makes sense, especially.
But $4.99?
Well, Netflix doesn't always have movies available for streaming. You can get a lot on disc, but you can't get a lot of this stuff for streaming. If you wanted to watch something suddenly and Blockbuster is closed and, hey, you're sitting there and you don't feel like getting in your car to go drive over and get this movie, that's convenient.
Amazon's got HD movies for $3.99. They are, without question, the most expensive solution on the market.
First run, same day movies, $4.99 with HD. I mean, if you have a home theater system and you can have a whole room full of people versus going to the theater and spending so much per ticket.
True. I guess it would be an impulse.
I agree with you. Obviously, exactly. It would be something you'd really want to watch. These prices are for the enthusiasts, the people who really want these seasons.
No. Wait. No, because those video files aren't going to want 720p. Those guys are going to want 1080i, 1080p, and that's where Xbox and other deliverables come in to play, because a 720p, if this guy is really into his multi-thousand-dollar setup he's not going to want to get into 720p. So it has some limitations. Those who aren't going out in front of a U-Totem or a Circle K or Stop and Go or 7-Eleven getting their movies out of the big convenience store box, then this might work out a little better for them.
They're competing with the Bravia stuff. They're competing with the Samsung. They're late to the game. I still don't think that the box, even with the $99 price tag, I don't see anything exciting about this box. I'm sad about it because I was really looking forward to it, and I was hoping that it's accessible, and as of this podcast, we don't think it is, but we might be wrong. I hope we are. If we're wrong and it is accessible, that's a game changer for us as a community.
Next gen Apple TV, dropping the price from $299 down to $99. HD capable, but Joe, you're saying only 720p, right? Not 1080?
Not 10. No, they're shooting for 720, and a lot of the that's generally the native resolution for a lot of the things out of the iTunes store. The connections on the back of that are going to be HDMI, Ethernet, Wi-Fi, and so you've got the ability to do the delivery content that high, but I guess they're looking for parity on all their devices.
One HDMI does support the 5.1. That's nice. They've evolved and included audio in their HDMI ports. Remote control that comes with it. But again, the big emphasis, rent everything. Don't worry about storage. You don't need to worry about storage, Mikey. You don't need to sync that stuff. We'll take care of that for you.
We'll take care of it for you.
No, I didn't hear specifics on the time limits. You get a TV show for 99 cents. How long is that good for? In the past, it was only like 48 hours. Or are there discounts for getting a whole season? You know, how long is that content available to you? Or how many times can you view it?
Having these episodes of Dora or SpongeBob or whatever it is, or just things that you want to watch over and over again, you don't want to be paying 99 cents because Steve Jobs told you that you didn't have to worry about storage. Just buy it again.
But Ricky, they're commercial free. You don't have to watch the commercials.
Neither. You don't have to watch the commercial when you buy them either.
Isn't it ironic, though, that we just touted how awesome they were being towards music and giving all this freedom towards music, but when it comes away from music and goes into video, and people like Revision 3 or other people doing independent video are going to be much happier in whatever Google TV is doing than the Roku and all of those other guys.
The AirPlay, if it's a little simpler just to get it set up, that you use the AirPlay to feed your audio and video and use your iPhone or your iPad as your remote device, so you have the speech built into your remote controller.
But when it comes to Apple TV, if the device isn't inherently accessible, the remote doesn't talk or whatever, I'm wondering if we can't just use our iPhones as a remote for that device.
That would be an interesting twist for accessibility, I think.
Well, again, that's why I've been raving about the AirPlay, because I think that might be the portal that you use your iPhone or your iPod Touch or your iPad to actually control the TV device. You know, maybe we blind folks, we're not watching TV all the time, but we can come in and port content in for our sighted family and friends. I'd be curious to see where it goes, but just to finish up on that, deals right now with ABC and Fox, again, these 99 cents per show, again, the inclusion of Netflix. Netflix. He did mention YouTube, but didn't really say how the interface for that would work. If you're still using AirPlay to pull it from somewhere else, or you're actually navigating YouTube from the TV, because he didn't say anything about web browsing in the TV. He said they don't want a computer.
But there, you're also going to be able to stream photos and various other things
for mobile
as well.
And radio stations.
You said deals, and it's very interesting how they have ABC and Fox, both owners of Hulu, yet they don't have Hulu.
Because that gets in the way of the $9.99 all-you-can-eat Hulu Plus. You know, you would lose the ability to get somebody on a season pass or something like that. So that may be another reason why there is a time limit in the amount of time that you can rent something. It may be a situation where they were like, look, we'll sign on to this, but we can't cannibalize what we're doing with Hulu Plus. The Apple TV does have a USB connector on it, so there may be a possibility of some secondary applications or devices going there. And that's the other thing that the other pundits kept mentioning was Apple.
I think that's where the wireless dongle goes, though. I think it's a dongle that they use for the wireless.
Apple missed an opportunity here by not having apps streaming to the Apple TV. It seems like Steve really wanted this to be very simplistic. And it was interesting that he said that one more thing was still one more hobby. It seems like they're not finished with this device yet.
Well, that's the thing we, as tech geeks, have to remember. This is stuff that dumbs it down to the masses that just don't want to learn the intricacies of syncing data. They want to plug and play and just have the thing work. And it's a whole market that we may take for granted. The question is, will people pay for that luxury and that convenience? Or will they pay for it because they don't know there are better ways and more efficient ways to store and aggregate your data and your content and your multimedia?
There are TVs flying off the shelves right now. I already have one that has widgets for both Netflix and Hulu and pretty much anything else you want. So I'm not really sure how they're going to make this work as these TVs that already have this stuff become more prevalent.
You get Hulu on your TV?
Sure.
I'm jealous. I don't get Hulu on my Roku. I want Hulu.
I'll have it on my Xbox very soon.
That's the key, though, is there's a lot of other companies getting into the space. Amazon getting into the video business. So this is not over. And again, that's why we wanted to talk about this, because the whole paradigm for TV and video on demand is changing. So Apple's not going to be the only game in town. So if you're not in a hurry, it might be interesting to kind of see where things go, what partnerships come out of it, and what other options there may be.
When the score is taken, I don't think that they're going to win on books, and I don't think that they're going to win on video. I don't see it happening. They did very well with the iPods. They did very well with the phones. They've done great with the music. And obviously, I mean, they got to keep looking for new places. If I was a betting man, I wouldn't bet on the future of iBook, nor would I bet on the future of iTV at this point. I think there's people that are out there that are doing it better and that got more going for them than Apple does.
Well, speaking of books, I think it might be a good time to segue into your acquisition of the Kindle 3.
Oh, dude, I like this thing. I really do. I want to qualify anything I'm about to say with the fact that there's accessibility in this product, and it is a great 1.0. Are there issues with it? You betcha. We're going to be putting out an in-depth review that's going to be written by a couple of us here at Serotalk all together, because I really want us to not only point out the problems, but also suggest some solutions. So those of you that have acquired one of these devices and want to have your two cents involved in our review, either save it for the comments once we post it, or feel free to send it to us via email, and we will incorporate your ideas, because I think what they've done with the Kindle is the sighted person's idea of what accessibility should be. You can't send a sighted person to do a blind person's job. That's just the way it is. Now, as consumers, I think that those of us that are early adopters need to take out our wallets, buy the device, and give Amazon some constructive criticism. Not just bitch about the problem, but also give them the solution. Take the time to write to their customer service. Amazon is one of the best companies I've ever experienced customer service from. Anybody here disagree with that?
No, they're excellent.
Not. So give us a sound reason why we should make that investment. If we are, of course, an early adopter, we want to hear what does this thing sound like? What enamors you with it? You're happy with the TTS?
Well, yep.
Page 1 of 3, PC Magazine, Wednesday, September 1st, 2010. Item 1 of 10.
So that's basically what happens when you turn it on. And as you hear, I love the voice on this thing. I'm not a TTS book reader. The way that they've made the text-to-speech sound on this thing is awesome. It's very thin. It's about the size of a paperback book, but it's about the size of the thickness of about a 20-page paperback book. Unlike an iPod or an iPad, it's very nice to look at, everybody tells me, but it's cheapy. You know, it's plastic. So I can very much see throwing this thing in a bag, putting a silicone sleeve on it, a Kindle condom, and taking it to the beach or something, you know, and instead of my iPad, I can't hold my iPad and look at this. So somebody who's got low vision like Joe, you know, if you're going to hold, you're going to hold an iPad up to your face for, you know, for a couple hours while you read your latest favorite book, you know, this thing, you can just hold it in your hand and look at it. And it does have magnification in it. And you can see the e-ink in, even in sunlight. So the screen is very, very nice. And I foresee the day where they're going to give these things away with purchase of multiple books. I'm sitting on the main page of it, and the device is really easy. It's got the screen on top, and then it's got like a keyboard, a QWERTY keyboard, little chiclet-like thumb keys, you know, that you would hit with your thumbs. And then it's got the five-way toggle thing, so it's a little square, up, down, left, and right, and then the select is in the middle. Above the five-way, you've got the menu key, and then below it, you've got the back key, and right next to the back key, you've got the home button, which brings you back to this screen here, and next to that, you've got a menu key, which is an AAA, I think, or AA button, it says on it. Depending on where you are, you press that, and it gives you different page options, and then next to that is the space bar, and then the alt, and so on and so forth. The one thing I don't like about it, as I hit the five-way navigation thing, it would be very easy for me to hit the back button, which is right under the five-way navigation key, and kind of lose my space. I've got the voice guidance on, as you heard, and there's two different voice settings on here. You've got TTS for the reading of your magazines and things of that nature, and books and periodicals and blogs and all of that, and you've got voice guidance. Voice guidance is exclusively for menus, for system type stuff, and there's a few things in the product right now that don't work with voice guidance, the browser and a few other, and the Kindle store, but we'll get to that in a second. I'm sure that those will be working in future revisions. And then you've got TTS, and if you guys remember the Authors Guild, part of the agreement with Amazon was that content providers, book publishers, can actually disable TTS. And one of the things I'd like to see is a universal key that a blind person can apply for, very similar to NLS, maybe a partnership with NLS or something, that we could prove that we're visually impaired, that we could always have TTS available to us. The reason that the publishers don't want to do it, of course, is because the books that do have TTS don't have audiobook counterparts, and the books that don't have TTS do have audiobook counterparts. So while it's uncomfortable, it's irritating to us as blind people because it does hurt the accessibility, it does make business sense. At least to me, it does. I'm going to arrow around. You saw I was just at a periodical. I'm going to down arrow.
Audible, the untold story of the New Testament. An extraordinary guide to understanding the New Testament. Unabridged, Frank Viola. Item 2 of 10.
So it tells me that it's an Audible book, and then I can down arrow again.
Bible, American Standard Version at number 40.
Boy, do I sound like a religious scholar. I've got some actual
Audible,
listing stuff,
Power
too.
Power of the Dog, Unabridged, Part 3, Donnie Winslow,
there
item
we go.
10 of 10.
So I've got all kinds of stuff on here. So I'm going to go back to the top
Showing
of the list.
All 19 items, by most recent first.
Okay, I've gone to the top and it tells me how it's showing things. I'm going to go down here.
PC Magazine, Wednesday, September 1st, 2010, item 1 of 10.
To load stuff on here, a lot of folks are thinking, oh, I've got to hook it up to my computer. No, no, no. All you've got to do is go and purchase the book online through the Kindle store, and then it will be delivered within a minute right to your device if it's on Wi-Fi, if you have the Wi-Fi one, which is 139, and if you have the one with the lifetime WhisperNet or the 3G, which works all over the world, by the way, in a number of countries, which is 189, and that's the way to go, really. It'll be delivered, and it'll just pop up on your device. You can't shop on the device like sighted folks, but I'm sure that that'll change because, you know, we want to buy books too. But I'm going to open this up and I just pressed the five-way.
PC Magazine, Wednesday, September 1st, 2010. Cover, Article 1 of 1.
Okay, so view section list is, I'm basically in the table of contents, so I'm going to view the section list.
Sections list, cover.
What it is on the screen there's columns. So if I right arrow, it's going to tell me
One article,
and that's in cover. Now, if I right arrow again,
solutions,
it'll tell me the next, like another section.
Two articles.
And there's two articles in there. So what I can do is I can hit on the number of articles, and it will tell me what the articles are. So let me come back here to the cover.
Cover.
And right arrow one time.
One article.
I'm going to press the middle key.
Articles list, cover.
Okay, and down arrow.
Close articles list, cover.
So what's the name of the article? Well, we don't know, so we're going to select cover.
PC Magazine, Wednesday, September 1st, 2010. Cover, Article 1 of 1, cover.
Okay, so it's
section list.
So it's just called cover. Now, this is where it gets a little tricky. Now, I want to use TTS to read this, so now I have to hit the key next to the spacebar.
Page preferences, font size 3.
Okay, I'm going to down arrow one.
Typeface, regular, line spacing, large, words per line. Default, text to speech, turn on.
Now the moment I hit it, it's going to start reading it.
The top 100 free apps for your phone 2010. Supercharge your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other smartphone with the 100 best free apps. Buy PCMag.com staff 458 word whether you're toting an iPhone, Droid, BlackBerry, or Palm Pre. It's the apps that make your smartphone brilliant, and the app scene is booming. The iPhone still leads the app race, with more than 225,000 apps. But developers are churning out apps for other platforms as well.
I don't like the way it sounds when you speed up the voice, but that's an issue with the TTS. That's not an issue with the device. Those of you that are used to listening to things at a million words per second, this is not the way to really listen to a book on this thing. The way you're going to want to hear it is kind of like this, maybe a little faster. I think that right now it's either slow, default, or fast. They need to be able to do a little more sliding scale. And unfortunately, I can't navigate right now. I can't go forward a word, back a word, repeat a line, any of the navigation stuff that we as blind folks are used to having. I can't do any of the things that sighted folks can do here, where I can highlight text, or I can look it up in the dictionary, or I can click on links and go to web pages in there. So these are things that are all lacking that, again, as consumers, we need to report. We need to say, hey, we want this stuff too. Right now, all I did was hit the space bar and I paused the text to speech. The bad thing is that if I leave this magazine and go somewhere else and come back into it, I've got to turn text-to-speech back on again. So it gets a little old to have to reset TTS. But again, it's one of those things where they're assuming, and I think incorrectly so, that a blind person isn't going to be using this full time. So they did kind of their version of accessibility. And it does feel a little bolted on right now. It's functional. I've actually enjoyed reading a number of magazines when it comes to various things that I've tried to do, looking at, for example, in my Bible and things like that. I can't go through the table of contents and select stuff. I just got to kind of read it. So it's not very functional yet. But again, it's a great 1.0 for me. And I think that we as consumers need to get behind the platform, buy it, and really start to make a difference. Make sounds like, hey, we want this thing to work. It's functional. You're not buying something you're going to throw in a drawer and not use. If all you're going to own is this as a book reader, don't do it. But if you're going to use this as a supplement, as something that one day you can hope to see that it is your number one book reader and you want to be a part of making it so, then I would suggest you put your money where your mouth is and you invest in the platform and then you turn around and be a good consumer and help Amazon provide us that excellent customer service that they provide us in other ways. Amazon Prime, I think, is a blind person's best friend.
I want to throw you a few quick questions. I want to let Ricky and Joe hammer at you. So first off, a blind person cannot initially get those menus talking. Is that correct? You do need sight help to turn on something first?
You do. Guys, I'm not making excuses for Amazon. It's just I've been doing development a long time. You know, sometimes familiarity breeds contempt. The littlest, silliest thing that you wouldn't think about in a use case scenario, once you hit the marketplace, you're like, dang, why didn't I think of that? And the same way that they set this thing up according to your account in Amazon, where it already comes connected to your account and everything, there's absolutely no reason why they can't turn on an accessibility flag right through the thing anyway. So again, oversight, but something that they would have much of a problem fixing through software.
Are you stuck with this? I mean, are there firmware upgrades for the device, or will the next batch of accessibility enhancements require the Kindle 4?
Oh, no. This thing is software upgradable. I mean, it's upgraded right from the device. You can look right in the device, and if there's an update available, you can click it, and it'll just download to it, and that part of it seems to be accessible. If not, you can connect it right to your computer, but it does everything right through the air.
Why should I do this? I've got NLS, I've got Bookshare, I've got RFBD, I have this and that, Audible. The big reason is the number of titles. How many titles? Do we know how many titles right now are available in the Amazon bookstore?
There's a lot. I'll tell you, Michael, you want me to tell you why? What my honest answer for that is? Because I think that Bookshare, I think that RFBD, I think that NLS have all served their purpose. And we need to start understanding that one day those services gotta go. People, we need to start becoming active consumers. We gotta stop taking the stupid handouts. You know, if not, you're never gonna be looked at with respect. You're always gonna be looked at as a leech. Understand that these programs were put in place because it was too costly. But at $9.95 a book, you know, that is not too costly for anyone. If it's accessible, then pay your $10 and be a consumer, for God's sakes. If you need discounts, you know, there are people in society, you know, that have their eyeballs, that have their sight, that are financially challenged as well. If you fall into that boat, then fall into that boat. But don't drag the rest of us down by saying, well, we insist that NLS stick around because I can't afford books. That's not fair to the community. It's not fair to the progress for our kids and the kids, you know, the people that are coming after us, that we want them to be looked at as a viable part of society. So while I applaud things like what Jim Fruchterman's done with Bookshare and RFBD, which I wouldn't have known anything about computers were it not for that, and I wouldn't have been able to get any books in school, and NLS, but I haven't listened to an NLS book for at least a couple of years because I don't mind getting stuff on Audible.
Perhaps the most compelling reason is eventually the college and the textbooks are going to be a thing of the past. They're all going to be electronic, and we are going to need to have accessibility to those devices, if not for ourselves. You know,
what are we going to do? Wait for the NFB to sue for it every single time? I mean, come on, people, stand up.
I mentioned that important point that some say within the next just couple of years, the textbook will be a thing of the past.
What is this going to be like when we think about the lawsuits that were brought against the universities who were going to use Kindle in their classrooms and then weren't able to do that because Kindle wasn't accessible? Kindle is accessible, except for
it's
very case.
Accessibility.
I mean, it's not going to be workable in the college classroom because you can't navigate certain things easily. You can't spell words if you're studying.
I understand that, but they did their version. Now it's time for the community to come back and say, that's not enough.
If these universities are going to be able to put Kindles in the classrooms again, are they going to say, okay, Amazon, you did something, we'll go with this, even though it isn't ready for prime time in that arena yet?
I certainly hope that they don't. If we don't make enough noise about it, if we just say, well, I'll wait till it gets more accessible, it may never get more accessible. And those people that are in college are going to be handed one of these things because of the lack of information, because the community as a whole didn't band together and say, hey, this is great. It's a great 1.0, but it's not enough. This is a point where 20% of the people can't do 80% of the work. Everybody's got to pick up their stick and walk with it and say, you know what, Amazon, this is great. Congratulations on doing this. I read a great review. The author just said over and over what all the problems were. This is a technology specialist, but I didn't see one recommendation as to what Amazon could do. And this person happens to know what Amazon could do to make the product better. You know,
yeah, so I think we do have to present that kind of thing to Amazon because it's clear that they don't quite know where to go, and it's up to us to let them know. The idea of NLS and Bookshare and things like that going away completely, I don't think that should happen. I think we have as much right to a library as anyone else, where you would check out a book and you read it once and you're done. But with that said, I think we could support authors as blind people a lot more than we do, whether it's buying Audible books or in this instance buying Kindle books or what have you. I don't think that we need to depend on NLS and Bookshare and things like that as our exclusive means of getting books.
When it comes to NLS and Audible, for example, you've got NLS recording a book and Audible recording a book. Finally, they've finally gotten together and NLS has gone to Audible and said, can we have that? And there are several Audible titles that NLS is distributing. But by the same token, Ricky, you know, you can go and use Overdrive at the library. I would submit that whatever is not available in audio format will ultimately be available in electronic format, rendering NLS useless. I mean, it should be useless.
Not at all. I mean, again, are you saying that we need to buy every single book we ever want to read and not do as the sighted people do, go into a used bookstore and pick up something for $3?
That's an interesting argument, and one you posed to me when we talked about this at one point, and I don't have an answer for that yet. I really don't, and that's a big argument about electronic books across the board. What happens if you buy a book on Kindle, if there wasn't an iPhone app or there wasn't an iPad app and you wanted to read it? Or worse, what happens if you buy an iBook from Apple and you want to read it on your Kindle device or on your, you know, or on
exactly.
your, you know, that's a problem with the market. That's not a blind issue. That's
no, of course not. Issue. But again, if you say that NLS should go away completely in these services like that, I can't get on board with that. I think there has to be a middle ground. And what it all comes down to is that we become conscientious enough
we
as
won't.
Consumers to
people
realize.
People are lazy. People are
well,
lazy.
Sure people and are blind lazy. People
have this, and blind people have an entitlement streak where we think that we deserve it because we've been told for years and years, you just sit back and you let the government do it for you. I'm sick and tired of it. It's very patronizing. And I think that keeping a service like NLS around does this community more harm than good in its society and its sociological perception.
Are you saying really libraries should go away? I mean, think
no,
if the publishers
no, no, no.
had
well,
their way. If the publishers had their way, they would get these books so that they get a little royalty off of each person, even if it came through a library. What's going to happen when they go all digital? What's going to happen to the whole library concept?
Libraries are going away. Libraries are some of the first things that cities, when looking at municipal spending, are cutting. There are several Pennsylvania libraries that are going away. There are several in smaller states that cannot fund their libraries and just crossed the threshold where more digital books were sold than print books. So it could be a situation that the market takes care of that problem
yeah,
itself.
Yeah, the market's going to settle that. But what I'm talking about here, guys, is not that. I'm talking about NLS as an entity of itself. I think that the NLS program was wonderful when it was created. It filled a gap that is no longer necessary. It does us more damage than good. I understand that there's some things that we're going to have a little more challenge to get, but right now there's a lot more stuff than you can get off of NLS that isn't going to break your bank and that you could get through your library.
Then how do you serve the elderly community and the non-tech, the non-PC base of blind users, which is the majority, Mike? How do you serve those people?
That is something that the market as a whole, again, is going to have to start addressing because it's not just blind people that are getting old. It's everybody that's getting old. Why do you think you see the jitterbug phone with those big-ass buttons? Because sighted people are getting old too, and they need easier interfaces like that. That will be something that the marketplace takes care of. It's interesting to me to hear how a bunch of geeks argue for this program to stick around.
I think that for you, you're making a blanket statement about something which should go away because it doesn't fit your particular lifestyle. I mean, you yourself said you don't use anything from NLS because you've got it all on Audible and so on. I've read 120 books this year, literally. A lot of those I did buy on Audible and some of them I did not. I probably don't want to own this book, but I'd like to have it as a quick read, just as I would if my friend were passing me a book or whatever. And I don't want to give up the right to that, certainly.
But you're one of those people, Ricky, that walks the line. You buy stuff. Phil, what I'm saying is there are many of us, I'm including myself because I'm a member of this community too. And as a member of this community, I have the right to criticize it because I'm not on the outside. And the fact is that many of us, and we get the calls here every single day, I can't afford it. Why isn't it free? I'm going to have to talk to counselor to get it. The pissing and moaning and bitching and complaining that is heard from this community has to stop. I agree that it would be nice if it could stay, but unfortunately, our community is full of griping, lazy, blind people that would rather just get it for free and then complain because the stuff isn't accessible. I mean, that's just my opinion, and I know we're going to get hate mail, but that's the way I feel. And you know what? I'll stand behind it. This is Mike Calvo talking. This is not Serotech talking. This is me and the way I feel about it. I totally see where Ricky's coming from as well, and my rant is not directed at the Rickies of the world. The Rickies of the world go out there and play their part and do their part for advocacy. They do their part and not by just sitting behind a keyboard facelessly and writing griping emails and posting it to lists. I'm talking about Ricky gets out there and does presentations. She gets out there and she writes letters and she suggests things and she tests things and she really makes an educated consumer guest. So this is not a personal attack on an individual as much as it is on a system that creates an environment of entitlement that has to stop.
So in conclusion, you're recommending those who have the savvy, a little bit early adopters, to go spend the $139, get the Kindle, play with it, submit their comments to Amazon, and be actively involved in advocating for the necessary changes.
Yeah, I think it's an awesome platform. I think they did a great job. And I think that if you can, I mean, invest in it. If you can't, get somewhere where you can get your hands on one and at least write Amazon a letter. Say, you know, I got to spend an hour or two with this device. It's going to be available at Staples later in the next couple of months. It's going to be available at Target. So you're going to be able to walk into a Target or Staples and play with this accessible device, then sit down and write Amazon a letter and say, listen, I played with this thing, and do what people used to do to me, which used to drive me crazy. I will buy your device if it only did this.
You know, the good thing is that with Christmas coming up, there may be a friend, relative, spouse who may also get one of these, and you could play with theirs also and get some good hands.
That would be good.
Right. Or, you know, as we've always heard before, is why can't that device just talk? Well, now here's an opportunity to share the device between husband and wife or what have you. So this is a device that maybe the whole family could use.
Now we have the opportunity to watch or listen to movies and TV on our iPhone with the latest app from Netflix. Have you done anything with that yet?
I have played with it a bit. I haven't had as much time to spend with it as I would like. I was really excited when it came out and a little less excited when I started to actually look at the app. It is, quote, usable, but it's not a pleasant experience just yet. I do love that Netflix has so many TV shows and movies available for streaming, and I'm looking forward to having a more pleasant experience when trying to use it on the iPhone.
And we basically posted on Serotalk, and the power users disagreed with us that Netflix is usable. Well, it is usable, but it is not where it needs to be. And we as a community need to make some decisions that the power users can figure it out, but yet see that certain functionality is not there.
That's not usable. Just because you can kind of work your way out, if you stand on one foot and wave your other foot in the air and wave your iPhone around, you can make it work. That's not accessibility.
Yeah, so just because you figured out little tips and tricks for making it happen, if you see that a device isn't functioning in the way that it should, the way with the many other apps that you may use, I hope we don't develop complacency and say, well, I figured it out, so it's usable, and I'm going to argue with you, and I'm not going to go out and lobby that some improvements be made. If you flick with your finger, there's a focus issue. You actually have to find the icon where it resides on the screen and double tap it that way to get in there. And then if you get the movie playing, you got to double tap the right place.
The upper right corner of the screen. I don't know if you're supposed to tap on the status bar where it shows that there's music playing. I think that's where I double tapped and then got the controls for the player, like pause and close. And the real issue is actually getting to what it is that you would like to watch.
Do we know if it supports Bluetooth keyboards yet, or is there a keyboard navigation for this thing?
I don't know that anybody has tried that, actually.
Beta would apply because they've already said it's not truly iPhone 4 compatible yet. So they mentioned iOS 3.13, so I thought that was kind of interesting. So maybe people who are still using that may have a better experience. So apparently this would still be in beta stages, but I think it's very important for us to start emailing our accessibility concerns to Netflix and let them know that we are already paying members of the monthly service. It is, of course, if you don't know, $8.99 a month for unlimited streaming of movies and TV of the content they have. But you can also get one DVD mailed to you at a time with usually one day turnaround in most cases. So you can have the best of both worlds. It's very economical. And I've been kind of a latecomer. I just signed up the day before the iPhone app came out. So I really hadn't played with it yet. I mean, I saw it on another machine and kind of saw the content, but I really hadn't delved into it. So I'm kind of excited to play and have been playing around with Netflix and kind of building my favorites list and choosing my categories and all that cool stuff.
There is tons of content available if you're a big sci-fi fan. They've added a lot lately, Babylon 5, Futurama, all the seasons.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and they've got Angel, and of course they have lots of movies as well. I wasn't really interested in Netflix until they started putting things up for streaming before you could get the DVDs, but somehow that just wasn't as exciting to me because I had to get it from the mail, then return it when I was done, and I couldn't just randomly decide, hey, you know, I think I'd like to start watching this and go ahead and stream it. A lot of people are doing this now. They're recognizing that streaming video is a really nice thing to do.
We've got Hulu Plus coming, and we have all these other on-demand videos coming out with the ability to eat when you want to eat and eat buffet style. So that's even better. So Netflix is one of those things that's actually caused me to actually consider whether I need all these cable channels or not, because a lot of the information or a lot of the materials I want to see, I can actually watch them without having to go through an inaccessible DVR or having to set up appointment time that, okay, I want to be available at 7 o'clock to be able to watch blank. Netflix is definitely a way to go. And you can also use your computer to go through their web browser to set up a lot of your stuff in your queue, a lot easier to be able to get an idea of what you want, or I have it in the third position of the queue, or I just want that one movie, so I don't have to worry about clicking on something accidentally.
A lot of people listening say, well, big deal, you know, TV on your iPhone or your computer, who cares? The reason we should all be concerned is that is the trend. You have Verizon announcing that they will be allowing streaming video content to iPads, therefore showing you that synergy or kinship with Apple. You have cable companies talking about using IPTV, that's basically transmitting television programs through the internet and directly interfacing with the PVR, the personal video recorders. So there's just a lot happening in that space, and that's going to be the future, the way that we watch TV. So it's important to us to advocate and make sure that these technologies are accessible. And we will be reporting on that as we find these developments, because this is the future, like it or not.
Yeah, we all have to suffer by watching hours and hours of television for you. We care that
this
much.
This is what we do for you guys, the sacrifices we make.
So evolutionary to watch television on demand when we want. The whole concept.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The whole concept of being there Thursday at 7 p.m., you know, that's just so limiting. So it's kind of like the podcast era for television. Watch when you want.
Well, it's like Hulu Plus. I mean, Hulu Plus wasn't working for me. I was able to get Hulu on the phone and talk to them and get them to really look at accessibility in that application. And I'm still hoping for some changes. We Twittered about it. A lot of people retweeted it. Twitter, social networking is going to play a big role in this. So get involved. Get a Facebook account. Get a Twitter account, you know, and start getting in touch with these people. They're all monitoring Twitter and Facebook to see who's talking about them. So now all you got to do is talk about them in a public place, and they hear about it.
IM Plus is an excellent example of social networking at work, people advocating through that and actually seeing some very positive results.
WhoTunes is another one. I mean, that was an app that Michael directly worked with the author of WhoTunes and many other blind people to make sure that it was accessible. So they do listen. It's just that they do what they think is accessible. And if nobody is lovingly saying to them, listen, this is what needs to be done for it to be functional for me. If we just get ticked off and say, well, screw them, they don't like us blind people anyway, just whatever your excuse for not getting involved is, you know, that's just never going to bring us forward as a community of consumers.
Other cool news, the recent elections in Australia, voters, blind voters anyway, were allowed to vote by telephone. As I understand it, they would register themselves as needing that assistance, and they could actually call someone on the election day and actually vote via the telephone. Now, this raises a few interesting points to me. First of all, we link to a page at serotalk.com where you can hear an audio demo of this take place. Of course, we in the States would have security concerns about it, people fraudulently calling. More importantly, of course, it's an age-old issue, I guess. How do you know that person on the other end is truly entering
what you've said? And of course, there's the fact that you aren't really voting anonymously either. They may not know your name and so on, but it's a lot less anonymous than, say, a voting machine, certainly.
To prevent voter fraud, say if we wanted to do it on our PC, we couldn't be anonymous. We would actually have to allow at least an IP address or, you know, some kind of MAC address or something so that they knew there was only one entry. But by that, you would be identifying yourself. So would you want that compromise? Would you want to be able to vote via your PC or the telephone from home? Would you feel safe and secure in that? You know, how would you make that private yet ensuring that you were the only one doing it?
One of those age-old situations of would it be a larger voter turnout if we could do this, you know, remotely. I think of Britain where they can actually do appreciation index for television programs. So at the end of the program, they could vote like or dislike, and they can actually get an idea of how well that program did at the moment that it aired. You know, there's some 1984 Big Brother feelings I have about this on both sides. And of course, there's always the age-old argument that we've heard with Facebook that privacy is dead. You know, I would urge others to read from the Electronic Frontier Foundation's website, EFF.org, because that gets a lot into these ideas of what is private and what is not private.
I'll tell you, if we want to crank up voter turnout, let's do like most other countries. Let's modernize and move our elections to Saturdays. You know, Tuesdays go back, I understand, to well over 100 years ago, where people would attend their church services on Sundays and then head out to reach the polls to vote by Tuesday. Next story here, teens are losing their hearing at an alarming rate. And the reason I bring up this story, I know that many of us certainly are no longer in our teen years, but Mike Cowell raved about the atomic bass buds, the earbuds, and I promoted those, bought three pair myself, of course, two defected. And I noticed after wearing those a while, when I would take them out of my ears would be ringing. If you notice that when you quit listening to your earphones or buds or whatever you have, the in-ear ones are supposedly the worst, but even the noise cancellation ones have been proven to cause some hearing loss over long-term use. I would encourage you to really stop using those, or consciously make sure to use lower volumes, because obviously we as blind folks cannot afford to lose our hearing. So if your ears are ringing after using these devices, it's not worth it. I love the sound of great headphones, but it's not worth losing our hearing over. So that's the reason I bring that up. Well, from Blind Bargains, who always finds the deals, we found a Western Digital 2 terabyte external hard drive for $107. So the price of storage is getting cheaper and cheaper. So folks, there is no excuse at all for any of us, you or I, not to be backing up our important data, our music, our software, our files, preferably images of our operating system, so we can roll our computer back to a date and time when all is working. So check that out over at blindbargains.com. It retails for $119. They got a $12 discount coupon code. Over 5 million domains were serving malware via a compromised widget from Network Solutions.
Yeah, we're no longer in the days of being safe if you didn't visit questionable sites. This stuff can come really from anywhere.
Intel has bought McAfee. You've seen a new study that shows that 85% of criminal activity is from organized crime. So folks, this is no longer teenage hacker kids
out
there.
The kid in the basement, right.
Although sometimes they are involved, they're given little incentives to bring them into play. But, you know, 85% of this is organized crime. It's becoming big business. And my point again, folks, get out of the land of naivety. You've got to have some security software installed. And even with that installed, you still have to use common sense. The internet should be thought of as your front door. And do you open that front door to just anyone? I hope not. If mainstream websites are compromised as well, it goes beyond common sense and becomes a defense mechanism and strategy that we have some good security software. I just rebuilt a computer system for someone because they clicked on one of those. Check here to make sure you don't have any malware or spyware.
Oh,
you
know, no. Don't do that at all. I've seen people do this as well. You go to some of these sites and they say, hey, we have a free virus scanner that we'll run right now. Just click here.
You have a virus, your computer's corrupted with some kind of malware, and you know it costs $60 an hour. Generally, they get about $100 out of you to go in and work on your computer and clean it up. So unless you can do that kind of stuff yourself, better to just kind of avoid those temptations. Remember, you do your own virus scans. Don't click on anything that comes to you via website claiming to scan your computer. I mean, there are some legitimate sites if you go to them and initiate them yourselves. And now you also see that hackers are saying they're interested in the whole cloud-based computing. They're excited about the idea of people putting all of
I bet they
online.
Are, too. You've got things in a centralized place, and people are going more and more toward cloud computing. The days of the desktop PC are probably numbered, and what that means is that as more people move to the cloud, it certainly becomes a more attractive target for hackers.
Well, exactly, and you could get that data from them in the cloud and not touch it. So people wouldn't know. They would just keep feeding their information, not knowing that something was sitting there grabbing and copying or altering it in a negative way. So or what about espionage or any kind of attacks from competitors? It's very concerning times. I don't mean to get folks paranoid, but we need to be mindful that these things are happening. And of course, we'll talk about these things in the future. I think a security tech chat is in order as well. Join us for the tech chats Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, 6 p.m. Pacific, or 0100 hours UTC, or of course, as always, catch the archives. It's been real, and we will hit you up in 2 weeks. Tune in for the tech chats. The AFB is going to show us how to advocate with the Federal Communications Commission to get some needed features in our cell phones. We're also going to get a roundtable of folks who are actually using the Android. Yes, the iPhone is not the only free talking phone solution out there. We're going to show you the strengths and weaknesses of that and much more coming up in 2 weeks on what'll be the Big 5-0.
Wow.
Yeah, 50 of these bad boys.
We should do a special of some kind.
So stay tuned. We're going to show you the new SamNet Home, the latest, coolest innovation with SamNet. And join us in 2 weeks for more good stuff, new product reviews. Hoping to get that Zoom H1 anytime. It's on back order, but we're going to show you what we think is the most economical recorder for podcasting and is capturing audio on the fly. Ricky and Joe, we will see you then. Hope you stay connected and stay directed.
See you in a couple weeks, folks.
Later.
This is Michael Loff, here to demonstrate the new SamNet Home, the front-end interface for the System Access mobile network, herein referred to as SamNet. If you've never used SamNet, it is a massive wealth of content, news, sports, weather, movies, TV shows, radio stations, thousands of sources for music, books, and just the best of what the internet has to offer. SamNet Home is a new front-end interface to make this content even more manageable than it has been before. You can add links of interest, remove links you don't care about, and even rearrange the order of links so that your favorite content is at the top of the list. Let's show you how it works. First, you install the System Access screen reader in a 7-day trial of SamNet by going to www.satogo.com. That's SATOGO.com. Once installed, you can start it at any time by clicking on the link on your desktop or by using the hotkey shortcut, which is Control Alt N as in network. I'll press that now.
Please wait. SamNet Home. SamNet Home, what would you like to do now? 1. Email.
It said number 1 for email. If you have new email messages waiting, it will tell you that and how many of them. Likewise, you can tab through the links or press down arrow to get numbers.
News link. Sports link.
Down arrow and you will hear
4. Link. Weather. 5. Link. Document scan. 6. Link. Entertainment.
So use whichever method is most convenient for you.
Information link. Socializer link. Voice chat link. Users forum link. SamNet community member resources link. Media library link. Notes link. My newspaper link. Bookmarks link. My blog link. Personal website link. My files link. My account link. Remote control another computer link. Help link. Search drop down list. System access mobile network.
Now built into all of this is a cool search function. We can press alt down arrow and you can search either SamNet.
List opened. System access mobile network. World Wide Web.
The World Wide Web via Google.
Multimedia search.
Or our multimedia search.
List closed. Search for editable text. Blank. Search button. Preferences. Link.
And at last we have the preferences link. You can also get to this anytime within SamNet by pressing Alt-P. Or you can press modifier F, as in file, and find some other cool things that you can do. Let's press Alt-P.
System access preferences. System access preferences. 1. General preferences. Link. Text-to-speech preferences. Link. Screen magnification preferences. Link. Braille preferences. Link. Browser display preferences. Link. Password manager. Link. Startup preferences. Link. Manage my home server. Link. Sync preferences. Link. Socializer preferences. Link. Manage machines. Link. Personalize your SamNet homepage. Link.
And what we're looking for here, the personalize your SamNet homepage. And finally,
close. Link.
Now what you can do,
general preferences.
If you like, when you open it and land on general preferences, you can simply press shift tab twice.
Close. Link. Personalize your SamNet homepage. Link.
To get to the personalize your SamNet homepage. Let's press enter and show you what you can do.
Personalize your SamNet homepage. Personalize your Samnet homepage, list, email.
Now, what you have is an exact list of what your Samnet home screen currently offers. Now, we can move items around. We can delete things we really don't care about. And perhaps most interesting of all, we can add our own content, not only in the network, as well as external links to content on the internet.
News.
We have news,
sports,
weather,
document scan, entertainment, information. Socializer.
I like the Socializer. It is a cool tool for interfacing with Facebook, Twitter, currently active voice chat rooms, a users forum to communicate with fellow Samnet members, and much more. I like the Socializer, so I want to move it to the top. I have a couple ways of accomplishing this. I can tab once.
Move up button.
And press the move up button.
Personalize your Samnet homepage list.
Which returns me to the list of items, but now the Socializer is one item higher than it was before.
Entertainment, Socializer, information.
As you see, it moved the Socializer up above information. Now, if I want the Socializer to be at the top, I can go to...
Move up button, move down button, cut button.
The cut button. Now remember, if you're going to use the cut button, you're going to want to make sure before you save your work that you paste to some other location first. As always, on a button, press spacebar.
Personalize your Samnet homepage list.
Now I'm going to hit the home key.
Email.
And I'm going to tab.
Move down button, cut button, paste before button.
Paste before, meaning it will put it as the current item. If I choose
paste after button,
paste after, it will be the next item below where my cursor is currently sitting. Right now I'm sitting at the very top on email.
Paste before button.
And when I press spacebar on the paste before button,
personalize your Samnet homepage list. Socializer.
The Socializer is now the very top link in my list. Likewise, if there's other things we want to remove, we can simply press the cut button and choose the save button to remove them from our screen. If you use Samnet for a while, you are going to find there are certain features that are awesome, and you can put those right on your Samnet home page so that you can get to them right away. In the preferences, we can actually activate these links and go find specific content. So let's say you want a link to the movies that have been added in the last 30 days. We can do that by going to entertainment,
email, news, sports, weather, document scan, entertainment,
pressing enter,
new window, entertainment, please choose one of the following 15 links, 1, 128K music networks, accessible games, link, audiobooks, described video programming, link,
choosing described video programming,
described video programming, please choose one of the following three links, 1, children and young adult, movies, link,
movies,
movies, please choose one of the following 32 links. 1. New additions in the past 30 days.
And pressing enter on new additions in the past 30 days.
New additions in the past 30 days. Please choose one of the following 11 links. 1. My sister's keeper.
Now, all we have to do with this or any other website or link that we're visiting is press F6 to highlight the address bar.
Open website. Please enter the address of the website you want to open. Editable text. HTTP. www.samobile.net/content/cat1573html.
Now, all we need to do is press Control C to copy this link to the clipboard.
Selection copied.
And now I will press Escape.
SA Mobile Network. New additions in the past 30 days. Personalize your Samnet homepage.
And press it a second time to get back to the personalized homepage.
List. Entertain.
And now I will tab over to the Add a New Link button.
Move up. Move down. Cut. Button. Add a New Link button.
Press spacebar.
Add a new link. Link name. Editable text.
And first I have an edit box to type in a description. I'm going to call it New Movies.
New Movies. URL. Editable text. Blank.
Now I will paste the link I copied to the clipboard with Control C. I will now paste it in this field with Control V.
Clipboard contents pasted. Add button.
And now press space or enter on the add button.
Personalize your Samnet homepage. Personalize your Samnet homepage. List new movies.
And there you hear it. It is called New Movies. And it sits at the bottom of the list. Again, if I want to put this at the very top of the list, or maybe next to the top of the list, I can choose the cut button, immediately followed by the paste before or paste after button to put it exactly where I want. Or to simply press on the move up button, tab again, press move up, until you get it to where you want it in the list of items. Let's look at some of the choices in the information center.
Email, news, sports, weather, documents, entertainment, information. New window. Information. Please choose one of the following 30 links. 1. All things Serotech and Serotalk.
So I will press enter on all things Serotech and Serotalk.
All things Serotech and Serotalk. Please choose one of the following 6 links. 1. Samnet Radio, your station, your community.
Here's Samnet Radio, your station, your community. I can press enter on it and listen to it, or I can simply press Shift F10 or the context key.
Menu opened. Open. Open a new win, add to sync list, save target as, add target to bookmarks, copy shortcut.
Copy shortcut. I will press enter.
Menu closed.
And voila, I can again open the preferences. Remember, with Alt-P.
System access preferences.
Shift-Tab twice.
Close. Personalize your SAMNET homepage. Link. Personalize your SAMNET homepage. Move up. Move. Dot cut. Button. Add a new link. Button.
Choose the add a new link.
Add a new link. Link name. Editable text. Land.
And I will call it Sam.
Sam.
Net. Radio.
Radio. URL. Editable text.
And paste a link with Control V.
Clipboard contents pasted. Add. Button.
And choose the add button.
Personalize your SAMNET home.
And choose the save button.
Move. Cut. Add a new. Save changes. Button. SAMNET home.
Now, another thing you can do once you feel more comfortable is you can go into your preferences and do what I and many folks do. Choose the simplified user interface. This puts all of your items in a single list view that you can move through with up and down arrows, but also adds the cool functionality of allowing you to press the first letter of the item you wish to access. So let's press Alt-P for preferences.
System access preferences. System access preferences. One. General.
By default, we're on general preferences, which is where we can make this change. So we will press enter.
General preferences. Key echo. Check.
Here's where you can set things like key echo.
Word echo, checkbox, checked. Link alert type, drop-down list, tone.
Change the alert type if you want, like what happens when you get over a link. It can either say the word link or play an audible tone or do nothing.
Optional messages, drop-down list, off.
You can have optional messages that either speak in a different voice or the same voice or turn them off.
Read tooltips, drop-down list, off.
Same with reading tooltips.
Simplified SA Mobile Network User Interface, checkbox, not checked.
Now I will check this.
Checked.
And then go to OK.
Make the system OK button. System access preferences. 1. General
And now, when I exit SAMNET Home and rerun it again, I will be in the new simplified user interface, which will allow me to press the first letter of the item I wish to go to.
SAMNET Home. 1. Email. Link. 2. Link. News.
The original settings are there until we exit by pressing Escape. Waiting for the
SA
prompt.
SA Mobile Network. Are you sure you want to disconnect from the SA Mobile Network? Yes button.
So again, we will press Control Alt N.
Please wait. SAMNET Home. SAMNET Home. List. Email.
Now it is in a list view, and I can simply press the first letter to jump to the items of interest. I'll press S.
Sports. Socializer. SAMNET Community Member Resources. SAMNET Radio.
SAMNET Radio. Let me press Enter.
New window. SAMNET Home. SAMNET Home. List. SAMNET Radio. SA Mobile Media Player. SAMNET Home. SAMNET Home. List. SAMNET Radio.
And to stop the audio at any time, I simply press the Escape key.
SAMNET Radio.
Of course, SAMNET Radio is at the bottom of the list.
New movies.
And right above it was what we first added, new movies. So when we press enter on it, instead of having to go to the entertainment
new
guide.
New additions in the past 30 days. List. My sister's keeper.
Instead of having to go into entertainment guide, described video programming, movies, and new additions in the last 30 days, I put a link to that took me exactly where I wanted to go. The power is endless. You can even add external websites. The choices and the configurability are limited only by your imagination. And if you get things messed up, you can simply choose the restore defaults and put SAMNET Home back to the way it was when we first started.
SAMNET Community Member Resources.
The final thing I want to show you is SAMNET Community Member Resources. Let's press enter. There are four great options in here.
SAMNET Community Member Resources. 1. Browse member websites. Browse public bookmarks. Link. Browse blogs. Link. Community forums. Link.
The last item, community forums. Here is where you can find a variety of topics created by fellow SAMNET members to discuss everything from A to Z. If we press enter,
community forums, list my forums.
Once you subscribe to one or more forums, you'll get this new listing called My Forums. If you wish to add this My Forums with all of your favorite topics to your SAMNET home screen, again, follow the steps by pressing enter, pressing F6, Control C, opening your preferences, which, of course, when you're adding multiple items, you can just leave open, and keep adding the items of interest. And then always remember to save when you're finished. We think you're going to find this new interface will open up a wealth of opportunity by putting all of your favorites in one easy-to-use location. Think of it as the ultimate preset manager. Play around with it and build the internet your way. Again, if you're not a current SAMNET member, take it for a test drive today with a free 7-day evaluation by going to www.satogo.com. You've been listening to Serotalk. Visit us at www.serotalk.com. Send us an email at resources@serotalk.com or leave us a voicemail at 866-997-BLAB-2522. We may read your email or play your voicemail in the next podcast. Join us in 2 weeks as we explore all the internet and life has to offer. Until then, may you have an accessible digital life.